Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
When you think of giant killers in the Bible, of course the name of David or one of David's mighty men comes immediately to the top of the list. But the first giant killer recorded in the Bible lived way before David was even born. The first giant killer mentioned in Scripture took on his giants and his mountain for God, not in his own strength, but through faith and trust in the strength of another as he wholly followed the Lord. In Numbers 13 and 14, we're introduced to a man named Caleb, who lived during the time of Moses and the Exodus when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, delivered from bondage by the strong hand of the Lord. Caleb was an appointed leader of Israel, the head and ruler of the tribe of Judah. Caleb was one of the 12 men chosen by Moses to go and spy out the promised land of Canaan that the Lord had given to Israel and to bring back a report to Moses and to the people. The purpose of this report was not to be an evil report, but a praise report of the promised land. It was to be a praise to the goodness of God and the mighty power of God, for it was the Lord who was giving this promised land to his people. But we all know how this story goes. In fact, there's a famous Sunday school song that we teach to our children down to this day that goes like this. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw grapes in clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The difference among these 12 men between the 10 and the 2 seems to have made all the difference in the world. Not just about entering into the promised land or not, but the difference between believing God and the difference between life and death itself. So just what was this difference? It all came down to this. What they believed affected what they saw that showed who they were trusting in. First, what they believed. At first glance, these 12 men all looked the same. They were all Israelites, each leaders in their own right, the head of their tribe. In the beginning of Numbers 13, we have a listing tribe by tribe of each of these 12 leaders' names, including Caleb of the tribe of Judah and Hoshea of the tribe of Ephraim. But in verse 16, we have the first distinction among the 12 that says Moses called Hoshea, who was of the son of Nun, Yahshua, or Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Lord is my salvation. This name change of Joshua by Moses occurred before the 12 went into the promised land that should have stood out to the other leaders and to all of Israel like a big believe in the Lord banner, reminding these 12 men as they walked the breadth and width across the land for 40 days that this promised land would be delivered unto them just as God had said, not because of them, but because of the Lord. For only the Lord Yahweh saves, and only the Lord Yahweh is my salvation. For 40 days, these 12 men were to go on a faith walk, believing the Lord that he was not only the great I Am, the eternal self-existent one who revealed himself not only to Moses at the burning bush, but who is also their Lord and their Redeemer, who saved and delivered his people not only from bondage in Egypt, but who redeemed them to be his people by faith in the blood of the Lamb, because he made an eternal covenant to bring his people into the land, fulfilling all that God had said to Abraham and to his seed, who, like Abraham, believed the Lord, believing that only the Lord saves and the Lord is my salvation. But because 10 of the 12 did not believe the Lord and the promises of Yahweh, save Joshua and Caleb, it made the difference of not only what they believed, but also what they saw. After 40 days of searching out the land, the 12 came back and gave their report to Moses and Aaron and to the people. They all agreed that it was a good land, flowing with milk and honey, and the 12 brought back even some of the fruit, including one large cluster of grapes that was so full and heavy it had to be lifted up on a pole staff carried between two men. But Numbers 13, beginning at verse 28, the whole tone of the report from the tribal leaders changed and went downhill. They said, "Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, which were the sons of the giants." But not only were there giants in land, at least 3 to be exact, and people and cities big and strong, there were also all the ites of the land, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. Caleb could see where this report was going, and he could hold back no longer. Instead of instilling faith and trust in the Lord, this report by the other 10 was not only striking fear in the hearts of the people, but also instilling distrust and disbelief in the Lord and assured promises of God, and was tantamount to rebellion of the people to wholly follow the Lord. The Bible says that Caleb apparently stood up and stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess the land to take it, for we are well able to overcome it." Well, what's going on here? Why is Caleb coming off like a Vince Lombardi who's rallying the people to go for the end zone and the win? Why is Caleb's view of the promised land so different from the other 10? It's because Caleb not only believed the Lord, but his view of God was so big and the promises of God were so sure, he knew that in the Lord, in Yahweh, the land was already theirs for the taking, for the Lord had already given it to them and promised to be with them. And through faith and trust in Yahweh alone, they would overcome. But the other men, because they didn't believe, they couldn't see. And all they could see was their obstacles. Their problems were so big, and their faith and trust in Yahweh and his promises were so small, even non-existent. They felt like they were like grasshoppers before the giants in the land, and sure, the people in the land would eat them and their children up and devour them whole. But before we get too hard on these people, we need to remember that all that was written down was also written for us, to teach us, to correct us, and to strengthen and comfort us so that we as God's people who believe and trust in the Lord, we might have hope. You know, giants in the land are not as uncommon as you might think. If anything, the last few months in our society and even in our world have taught us that giants in the land are alive and well in this present age. And giants in this world still strike fear in the hearts of God's people who have received the very promises of God. The giants of sickness and plague still loom about us. The giants of livelihoods wrecked and lawlessness abound. The giants of retracting freedoms and the loss of control over our world and life as we once know it continues to weigh us down. I know for us in CEF and our ministry to children, we have seen giants on land that we have never seen before. In one fell swoop, we were shut out of 90-plus schools through our after-school Good News Club ministry. In a moment, we lost all of our face-to-face ministry with children, had to turn on a dime to seek to minister to children through social media or through literature distribution. Our camp had to be shut down for the summer, and our concern over future finances only grew and was shaken, and our five-day club summer ministry outreach was a big question mark. It seemed everywhere we turned, giants in the land were staring down at us, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. In times like these, what do? We need to take a page from God's word, from the life of Caleb and Joshua, and not only believe in the Lord, for the Lord is our salvation, but we also need to see all of life and the lay of the land from God's promised view. We need to see that our God is so big and his promises are so sure that all these supposed giants in the land that stare up at us are itty-bitty grasshoppers that are like less than nothing as we see them through the eyes of the Lord. But the children of Israel could neither believe or see. Their fear had risen to the height of Mount Hebron, where the giants of sons of Anak dwelt. And because their sin of unbelief hardened their heart, their mouths moved and sinned all the more. That night, the people wept in their tents and murmured against Moses and Aaron and against the Lord. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the congregation, and Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. The two faithful tribal leaders spoke again to the people, Caleb and Joshua. They pleaded with them to believe the Lord and to see this good land that God had given to them by his promise. They said, "Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But the people refused and sought to stone them with stones and rebelled against the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord then filled the tabernacle where God spoke with Moses, and the judgment of the Lord came down. Israel and that generation lost the promised land. For 40 years, for every day their faithless leaders had failed to believe the Lord and to see the Lord's good promise, the whole congregation of Israel would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Every person from 20 years of age and upward, except for Joshua and Caleb, would end up dropping their carcasses in the wilderness and would fail to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. but it would be their children, the future generation whom they were so concerned about being devoured up by giants and the inhabitants of the land, who by God's grace would enter in and inherit the land. That day when the judgment of God came down upon the people and a plague wiped out the other 10, they don't always say that in Sunday school, the faithless, rebellious leaders saved the two, Joshua and Caleb. The Bible in Numbers chapter 14 then singles out Caleb, not only because he believed the Lord and saw the land from God's promised perspective, but because Caleb wholly followed the Lord and showed whom he was trusting in. The Bible says in Numbers 14:24 that God says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." But to see how God's promise to Caleb turned out, we actually have to fast forward another 45 years and turn to the book of Joshua in chapter 14. There the children of Israel had grown up under Joshua, who is now their leader, and they have begun to conquer the land and to inherit it. The children of Judah and Caleb, who is now 85 years old, then came to Joshua and said these words, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, and now I am this day 85 years old, but yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, the sons of the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I love it. Those words of Caleb are some of my favorite in the Bible. Caleb was fearless for the Lord because he not only believed the Lord, he saw the land from God's promised perspective, but also because he wholly followed the Lord, showing that his trust was fully in him. Have you ever wondered why God allows giants in the land and mountains to stand in our way? I know I have. After over 40 years of walking with the Lord, I've slowly learned that when mountains and giants grow taller, that my faith and trust in the Lord needs to grow stronger. Even in this coronavirus world, I've seen God do things that were before not imaginable, like a new ministry launched to children through the internet, teacher training done through pre-recorded videos, or a new way of doing ministry through Zoom meetings that has been shared with churches even in other countries. We've seen God provide for this ministry this year in unforeseen ways that could have never been budgeted, and God making a way this summer to minister to the children even face to face. Right now, we are in the midst of our 5-day club summer ministry. God has given us more summer missionaries than we even had last year, and every day from June to August, we have teams of missionaries and staff around the state ministering to children and proclaiming to them that Jesus is Lord, for he is our Yeshua, because it is only through faith in the Lord Jesus alone, by trusting in his promises, that we are saved. Often, I have the opportunity to hear daily reports even of what God is doing and how the Lord is bringing the children unto himself. One club filled up two tents with social distancing, and another had so many children they had to get another picnic table to spread out the children as they sat and listened to God's word. My biggest blessing this summer is that my son, Caleb, is also out there each day serving the Lord. Just this week, Caleb shared with me a counseling opportunity that he had after a 5-day club to talk with a little boy who had some questions. But the main question this little boy wanted to know was, how could God love him? And why would God send his son to die on the cross for him? You know, there are still giants in the land and more mountains to take. And there's still many questions that we do not know. But we who believe in the Lord must grow in our trust in him, seeing things from God's promised perspective, and wholly follow the Lord, putting our trust in him and step and walk with him each day. So who is that first giant killer of the Bible? Well, I'm sure you've guessed it. It was Caleb. The Bible says that Caleb, after these words that he spoke to Joshua, then rose up with the children of Judah and took that mountain and drove out the giants of the land, not one, but three giants, the sons of Anak, and named Hebron, that fearful mountain filled with giants, and claimed it for his inheritance. How did Caleb do it? the same way that only you and I can as God's people, not by trusting in our own strength, but in trusting by faith in the strength of the promise of another. For only the Lord saves, and the Lord knows how to deliver his people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.